This is a production of Cornell University.
Good evening, everyone. It's 5:31. We'll call the meeting to order. And I understand that the food is just arriving, so we're going to move through a portion of our program, and we will have we will take a break at a certain point so that you can go and grab food. But while this is all being set up, we're going to go ahead and get started so that we don't run over. Okay, so first up, we'll have the introduction of the voting members. David Bunk, John DeCastro, Alex Moore, Michaela, Tim Thor, Christine, Liz Newberry, here. Liz Murnane, Anne, Giovanna, Adrian, Serena, I am here, Asma, Stephanie, Franny, Sid, actually Sid did email, he is sick this evening, and then Ian. Okay, thank you. Okay, at this time we'll move to the approval of the minutes. So the minutes should have been printed and distributed. Are there any corrections to the minutes as printed? I'm sorry.
How many corrections are you?
Okay. Are there any other corrections?
A couple of quick corrections. Bigger Barn said we motioned the first time 1174 to 1175.
You said it was 11.
It's 1175 and 1174.
Okay.
And
I'm sorry?
Yeah, I think that's awesome.
Okay. Are there any objections to changing the 1174 for Big Red Barn to 1175? Seeing none, the correction we made. Are there any other corrections? If not, are there any objections to approving the minutes? Seeing none, the minutes are approved. And at this time, we have with us today our Vice Provost and Dean of the Graduate School, Barbara New. So please help me in welcoming Barbara.
Thanks for the opportunity to meet with you. How this came about with me stopping in to talk with you a bit. So that one's not important. Do I press the arrow? Is that what I'm supposed to do? So I shared with your GPSA leadership the annual report that the graduate school files each year with the provost, and it includes both our accomplishments for the prior year and then our goals for the year going forward. And in conversation then with your leadership, they thought it might be useful for me to share some of that with you. So what I'd like to do today is not focus on what we accomplished last year, but share with you a bit about what we're planning to do for this year, because I thought that might be most helpful, and if you have questions, you can let me know. So this doesn't seem to be working, so I'm going to have to tell you to forward. Thank you. I just wanted to situate my comments about what our seven goals are for the year in the overall context of the graduate school mission. So you see here that the mission that we have of the graduate school is to enable all of you to undertake scholarly work successfully and to prepare for your careers. We do that by focusing in a number of key areas. We focus on assessment and learning of our graduate fields. So we are constantly focused on program improvement. We certainly think about the student experience, and you've had some folks here who have talked with you about the student experience and the student life, the professional development programs that we have, and I'll say a little bit more about that. We also, though, kind of invisibly to all of you, we've spent a lot of time behind the scenes working on supporting the faculty and the staff who are supporting you in your graduate field. So there's 23 of us in the graduate school to support 5,200 of you, and 16 different degrees that we oversee and confer in nearly 100 graduate fields. So we're a small staff with a lot of service, outreach to all of you and to your field. And then we focus on visibility, and I'll say a little bit more about that. Can you forward it, please? Thank you. So what I'd like to do is to just share briefly with you the 7 major goals that we've identified for this year and talk with you a little bit about some of the things that we're doing, ultimately to, we hope, support and improve your graduate school experience. One of the things that we started doing in this goal of improving services for and communication with the graduate community, we have some of these goals that are focused, or activities under this goal, that are focused on students, some on supporting fields, and some on supporting future students. So I won't go through all of these, but as an example, we started this year, and some of you might have been affected, but certainly your colleagues, some of your colleagues may have been affected. We now have the technology and are acting on proactively notifying students when you're approaching certain milestones. So, for example, when you're approaching the deadline for constituting your special committee, or when you're approaching the deadline for scheduling your A exam and you haven't done it yet, we're going to tell you about it, and we're going to give a gentle reminder, and we're going to help you, we hope, keep on track so that you can make good progress academically. That's something we haven't been able to do, so with different technology, we're now able to do those kinds of reminders to you and to your graduate field to help keep you on track. We do a number of handbooks and guidebooks and best practices resources to field so that they can better share their expertise among each other and better support you. Can you go to the next one, please? A second goal is increasing the visibility of graduate education, of graduate students, and of postdocs. So we have a set of internal communications and a set of external communications that we do. With our internal communications, we're constantly trying to think about how do we better get information out to you and to your colleagues. So we have graduate announcements that goes out weekly. That's something that was started, a couple of years ago now. It didn't used to be that we could communicate or would communicate directly with students on a weekly basis. All of the programming, all the opportunities that we have going on. So if you see things like that where you have suggestions for us about how we can better do our internal communications to you, that would be helpful to know. We feature student spotlights. We have a photo contest trying to get some engagement and visibility on campus. We also, though, do a number of external communication events. I meet with legislative leaders. We've supported GPSA leaders to go and meet with legislators in Washington. I personally try to talk with the Cornell Board of Trustees to alert them to what's going on in graduate and professional education. So, again, having some both internal and external communication functions. Next one, please. Another goal is to enhance financial support for graduate education. And again, some of what we're doing here is financial support towards programming, to the activities that support you in having a successful and rich life here at Cornell. But then also a number of initiatives that are focused on the direct financial support that students receive. So fundraising with our friends in Alumni Affairs and Development and in the colleges or directly for funds to support graduate fellowships. But also fundraising to support through our annual fund, the annual giving that our alumni do, programming that gives you career services or that gives you the writing boot camps, the dissertation writing boot camps, or that gives you the transitions and perspectives events that take place at the Big Red Barn. So a number of things that are related to student funding. Next one, please. Another goal is to improve graduate programs through assessment. And we're constantly working on this. Last spring, we started what is turning out to be an ambitious initiative to every 2 years, the graduate school leadership meets in a focused way with the leadership of each and every graduate field to talk about what the issues are that are going on in that particular field, to talk about the progress that students are making, time to degree, how long is it taking doctoral students to finish, what's the completion rate and what's attrition, when is attrition occurring, are people leaving the program at 5 or 6 years or are they leaving it at 1 or 2 years. We'd like to have everybody complete their degree successfully. We know that's not going to happen. We'd much rather have students who leave, who need to leave, leave after years 1 or 2, rather than leaving after investing 5 or 6 years in a PhD program. So those are the kinds of conversations that we're having. Fields last year articulated, every field was required to articulate a set of learning outcomes. So now, in your program, or your degree program, there should be an explicit listing, an explicit communication of expectations about what the learning outcomes are associated with your own degree program. We're doing a number of student surveys now. Students who are admitted but choose not to attend Cornell, new students, PhD experience survey, student exit surveys. We're launching next year an alumni career outcome survey so that we can learn information that we hope will be useful to you in understanding what alumni do once they graduate from Cornell, and also building that networking opportunity as we learn more about what our own alumni are doing, making that information accessible to you. Next slide. Another goal is to foster a more diverse graduate student body. The students you see featured here was this year's crop of Boucher scholars who went to a conference at Yale. And we have a number of initiatives related to this idea of a diverse graduate student body. Some of these are under the Universities Toward New Destinations program. Others are more graduate school focused through our Graduate Diversity Council, which is a group of students and faculty who advise the graduate school on diversity matters. We're building a number of pathway partnerships with different schools in terms of our recruiting. But then also for students who are here, we have a number of programs that relate to supporting different student groups. Next slide, please. Another goal is to enhance graduate student and postdoc professional development. The GPSA doesn't really get involved with postdocs, but that's part of the graduate school responsibility. There's 500 to 600 postdocs at Cornell who also need to build community and to need to have some experiences and foundational support to help them connect across the university. So I think you've already had Jan Allen and others talk with you about some of the professional development programming that we do. We have a professional development section of our website that has a wheel of core competencies and programming that we do in each of these areas. We have a series of supports that we do for writing. Certainly writing is critical for our students. And we are a member of the CERTL network, the Center for the Integration of Research, Teaching, and Learning, which is a network of 22 institutions nationwide to focus on the development of future faculty and future professionals in the teaching and learning world. Next one. Finally, our seventh goal for the year is to enhance graduate student and postdoc life. We appreciate all of your funding for the Big Red Barn and our associated orientation activities. We have a number of programs that are focused on health and well-being, students with families, women, financial literacy, leadership development, and we're trying to do a bit more with the Dean of Students Office and Campus Life on being proactive, at least in providing housing information to graduate and professional students, particularly when they're incoming, so they know where to find resources. The Big Red Barn, particularly, I'm pleased with that as an initiative, as a goal for this year. We're working with university facilities to do an upgrade or kind of a structural renovation of the barn to make sure its infrastructure stays intact. We have an advisory board, and we're working with Campus Dining in partnership with external dining consultants who are now working with us to plan a student survey that the graduate school will implement, working with the Survey Research Institute here at Cornell. But we'll be implementing a survey across the graduate student body to gather information about what you would like to see in terms of dining at the Big Red Barn, And working with this consultant, we'll be able to develop some ideas. Again, students have been meeting with this consultant as well. And we'll set up a process for again, gathering input and acting on that input as we go forward. So that's a summary. I think that's it. You can go to the next one. I think it's just at Cornell University. So I'll end there. I know you have a busy agenda, but I thought I would just lure you into thinking about what the graduate school is working on for this year with this list of 7 goals, and see if you have any questions or advice or guidance that you'd like to give me or ask of me while I'm here.
Everybody have enough cool pieces?
So it seems like you're really interested in collecting a lot of data about graduate students and what they're doing about everything. But so my question is, approximately, how long would it take to turn the kind of data collection into some kind of action that the graduate students will see that they're benefiting?
Yeah, so we're seeing that already. We're seeing that already in the graduate student surveys that we're doing. So those survey data are shared with each of the fields, and it's shared at a field level, and it's also at a graduate school level. So from those data, we see that there are some fields, for example, where a good percentage of students are raising questions about the quality of the advising that they're receiving or the quality of mentoring. That causes a conversation to occur between the graduate school leadership and the field leadership, and it has caused fields to change the way that they do business. Now, if advising is not great in a particular field, are you going to see that change within the next 6 months if you're graduating? Probably not. That's a culture change. But the important point is that it started a conversation, and it's caused that to be a focal point for how the graduate school is interacting with that particular field. So there are a number of examples like that. The fact that we're working with the dining consultant on Big Red Barn, the fact that we were able to gain $1 million, a little bit more than $1 million from the university stabilize the Big Red Barn infrastructure. That is a result of the heavy use, the comments that we receive, the percents of students who are saying that the Big Red Barn is an important activity that you engage in. The pace of change may seem very slow to students who we hope have a limited tenure here at Cornell, but in fact, we are making some progress. Sure.
Questions? So obviously, we're generally pretty involved with the graduate community, but how is the response rate on the surveys that you sent out? Is there generally a large response, or is it?
So I'm a social science researcher, and I've actually been pleased with the responses. So on most of the surveys that you saw there, we're up around 60 to 65% response. The survey that we're just implementing now, so if any of you have received a survey on financial literacy, we're hovering around 35% response rate. And it's really important, if you can go back to your field. So this is not to every student. This was to a random sample of graduate students. But this is intended to gather information about what are the financial literacy, the personal financial management needs that are in the community to understand, are graduate students most worried about undergraduate student loan debt? Are you most worried about how do you set up a retirement program? What are you most worried about? That's what we're trying to figure out through this survey effort, and we're hovering at 35% response rate. So if you got the survey, go right home and prep that email and respond to it, but also ask your colleagues if they've received it to respond to it. That would be really helpful. And I should mention with that one that every 20 responses, we're kicking in a $20 Amazon gift certificate, which you'll be put in a drawing for. So the lucky winner is going to, there's going to be lots of lucky winners for those. Anything else that I can be helpful with? Okay.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you, Beth. Okay, at this time, if you haven't grabbed food, go ahead and do so now, but I'm sure a lot of you have. But Now we're going to move into new business. And first we have Resolution 4. So this is a resolution that's been sponsored by Bill. And so I will yield the floor to Bill to go over this resolution. And we're just discussing, he's just going to be presenting this today. We're not going to vote on it. We're going to spend the majority of our time focused on the student activity fee resolution.
Okay, thanks, be quick. Resolution 4 talks about changing the charter and the CPSA bylines. That's why we present today and then voting next week, because the charter's bylaws change. And so part of the gist of this resolution is that my job, the Appropriations Committee Chair, does a lot of things at the end of the spring and then into the summer and then early fall, and then there's not as much going on in the wintertime. So what that means traditionally is when we elect people in the end of the academic year, there's a huge learning curve to kind of like get caught up on what's been happening over the last 2 months and then what's going to be happening over the next 3 months. So with me leaving in December to graduate, and this would be a perfect opportunity to kind of change the bylaws and the charter so that my position would become filled at the end of December, the end of last meeting, and then the new person would start on January 1st. And then that way it helps to kind of buffer some of that change and help with the learning curve. It also provides a little institutional memory to the incoming executive board and committee chairs about how the finances work. So it just helps kind of smooth the process out. If anyone has any questions about that or any comments, feel free to ask, and otherwise we'll talk about it more next week.
So I know that's effective. I'm wondering if you think that a similar change, maybe in the longer run, would also benefit the entire finance committee or the recommendations board, or the entire appropriations committee, as opposed to just the chair.
It really wouldn't, because the appropriations committee is a pretty easy committee to set for in filing funding years in the fall. So, you're only looking for about 2 months, so these guys are actually really involved. Aside from that, I'm doing a lot of things like looking at the internal budget, making sure everything's on pace, signing reimbursement forms at the Office of Assembly. It's a lot more nuts and bolts, not really like a committee is required. And so having this position end would help. The other nice thing, too, is if they start in the beginning of the academic year, then they also have a whole semester to kind of learn what goes on. So if someone wants to do a position later on, they can have some kind of mentor with the current leaving appropriations chair to kind of smooth out that position. Because it is hard to kind of understand the university finances and kind of understand what's going on. So there is a lot of work, and this will help to help this position a lot. Yeah.
Do you foresee any sort of difficulties with this sort of imbalance with the executive board versus, or the executive committee versus your position, especially thinking about if someone wanted to be chair of the finance appropriations and eventually join the executive board?
That would be as far as I'm concerned, I think it would actually help the incoming executive board, because there would be some institutional memory going on, which is definitely something that we have an issue with every year, which is a huge turnover of all the committee chairs, and everyone has to figure out what's going on. So that, the only negative would be if they wanted to be appropriations committee chair and they wanted to serve an executive committee, then there could be some potential of a problem there. Someone could resign and get back into the old way. But if that happens, I guess it happens. But I think that the positive outweigh the negative. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. Okay, at this time, we will move into Resolution 5, which is the recommendation for the Graduate Professional Student Activity Fee. And before we get started, we'll just run over a few things here. First being, for amendments on this resolution, you need a majority of those present and voting. But for the actually pass this resolution, we need two-thirds of the seated members. So that ends up being 13 individuals, just so you know the differences between the amendment and then the actual final resolution. And then also we'll be keeping a speakers list, and just for the record, we would ask that if you're called on, please state your name and your field. That way we can keep a better record. We won't count that against your time, so don't worry about that. And also we'll be keeping a running spreadsheet
with any changes in terms of any changes that we're making to the current allocation, so that way we can make sure that we're keeping GPSAFC at the right percent, and also we can keep track of how it's what the total has become with any changes that might occur. Let's see. I think those are the main points I wanted to make. Yes, I think that is pretty much it. So at this time, I will turn the floor over to Bill again.
Yep. Okay. I do want to, it's kind of bad, but somewhere, they'll offer an amendment right away.
You said what?
We need to offer an amendment right away. Somewhere in the process last week, Cornell Cinema got bumped up from 10.05 from 10 to 10.05. That puts the fee at $81.05.
Okay.
And I don't know
how was in the recommendation that your committee bumped up? The sheet here says 10.05.
Then the fee that current fee is $80.
Yep.
Yeah, there must have been a typo on the table.
Okay.
Maybe the 10 and the appendix. The graph says 10.05. So I don't know how that happened.
Okay, so you're saying that right away you might offer an amendment to change it to 10.
Well, I mean, okay. This has been not too bad of a process, actually, because we lost both their funding. So I'd like to commend my committee, first of all, for thinking, for working hard, doing, several hundred pages of documents, financial data, event data, usage, survey. Definitely a big task on their part to go through all the applications, and I really thank them for all their time. We funded most of the groups at what they had requested. Third Grade Barn requested 15, and we just couldn't justify that, as much as we all support Third Grade Barn to go up so substantially, even though they do have the financial problems with the renovation and the loss of summer revenue, which is going to really hurt their bottom line, and the increased usage from grad students is also reducing our rental fees. We did recommend that Cornell Cinema be reduced because we felt that their subsidy is pretty excessive compared to what it costs to actually put on an event versus how much they bring in revenue. We thought it was pretty substantial, and so in order to help pay for the Big Red Barn increase, we had to then kind of look for a group to bring down, and that's some reason why they got brought down. But it's partially due because we think their value is just too excessive. And then we also unfortunately had to bring the ISP down, mainly because we're dissatisfied with how they've been serving more as a funding agency and funding groups that are already funded by other byline funding processes like the FC. And so groups are kind of double dipping, and we don't really like that current practice very much. Additionally, they had a couple red flags. They spent a significant amount of their budget, nearly the amount that we're intending them to be talking about, $5 to $1.35, on meals for their board, as this is like Mia and the Bambi and other Madeline, so pretty expensive places, and we feel they're kind of taking advantage of their funding to go to an elaborate end of year and semester event. So those numbers that they were reduced down, so they're not really fiscally responsible, really like. So that's all I really have to say, and I guess we can start the process then.
Okay, and I did this also the week that you were out of town, Bill, but again, thank you to you and the Appropriations Committee for all the work that's gone into creating that resolution. And two, also, so last week we had 12 motions that came forward, and they were all approved to go forward, so this is the final resolution, and I'm going to open it up for debate. So if you have a comment in favor or a comment in opposition, or would like to make an amendment, the formal debate is now open. And also, too, I'm sorry, just a quick reminder, just as last week, we ask that you limit your speeches to 45 seconds, and that we're going to have everyone speak once before anyone can speak twice, so we'll be cutting you off. If you see me kind of raise my hand, then you'll know that you have 10 seconds left, but we will have to cut you off so that we can make sure that everyone can speak.
Okay, so I'll start the speakers list here. Please raise your placards high so that we can make sure that. Okay, I have you. I have you, Christine. Have you? Okay, we'll go ahead, and if you have a comment, you know, as we're going along, just raise your hand, and I'll nod at you or give you an indication that I put you on the list. Okay, so first we have Elizabeth.
Rose.
Sorry, Rose.
So I propose an amendment to reconsider the Nelson proposed budget of $10. That's all I would say, but I know a lot of people have a lot of other stuff.
And so you're saying what you would like to offer an amendment. What would you like it to be? Yeah.
I mean, I'd like it to be.
Is there a second? Okay. So we are now looking at an amendment to change Cornell Cinema funding to 1060. And so I'll open it up for debate. Would anyone like to speak on that specific amendment?
To clarify, now there's a new speaker's list.
This will be a new speaker's list.
For
yeah.
The amendment.
To clarify how the effect for the
and that's where the grid will come into effect. We'll make sure, so,
sorry, I was tired.
So, what we can do is, as we're entertaining any amendment, Christine will update the grid. So, Christine, if you can put in the 1060 so we can see how the total would change and also how the GPSA FC percent would change, just so we can keep track of that. I'm sorry?
It must be a whole number.
Okay, so it must be a whole number, so keep that in mind.
It's going to be a $2 activity fee.
Okay, so keep that in mind. Yes.
At this point, information. So that increase in 1060 will put us right exactly at $82.
Okay.
So you know, if you want to say it was a $1 increase, you know, that's the kind of amount of money we have to play with changing group funding. Otherwise, it's up to 83 if they go higher than that 60 cents.
Okay. Understood. So was there anyone that wanted to speak on that specific amendment that was just brought forward? So, Tim, I have you. And Michaela, let's see, Shonen, okay, thank you, and Liz, and Jeff, I have you, and I'm sorry,
Elizabeth,
okay, I'm sorry. Okay, we'll start off with Tim.
What about the people in the back?
Oh, I'm sorry if I'm missing people in the back, I apologize. So I have you there.
Point of information.
And
Nicole, do we have? I know that in the UA we have to officially open it up to members of the community because graduate students are the only members who can speak at the.
Anyone who can speak, any member, you can be a member, that voting member, or field representative, if allowed to make a motion, only voting members vote.
Okay, so we will open it up with, did I catch everyone? Okay, I think I did. So we'll start off with Tim.
Great, so I was just wondering what exactly is going to be gained by having 55% increase, and what, and how that affects the bottom line of the cinema. I don't know if you guys can answer that, or?
I mean, I can't specifically use the current information. I think specifically for how Cross Cinema will use that extra $3,000. But you know, based on our analysis of the group, which was you know, we think is thorough, we thought some of our care then continue on with what they're currently doing, covering the hindrance on the program. So that was my analysis.
The reason why Matt has been getting quite a few amount of emails asking for the 1060 categorically opposed to 10 Article 5, and I'm not entirely sure what the factors going to change.
Is there anyone representing the... Okay, so I'll give you 45 seconds to respond to that. Thank you. Okay, and next we will hear from Michaela.
So I just wanted to point out that since the Cornell Seminar only just made changes as was suggested to them the last time we were in the process, and we don't really have all this data as to what the effect of those changes were, it doesn't seem fair to really make that big a change in what was going to give them at this point. So we don't have the information. So it seems only fair to do something that the same as the undergraduates already voted to do, which is where the 1060 number comes from.
Okay. And also, I'm just going to interrupt quickly. I stated this before, and I know it's hard to remember all the time, but if you can state your name, your field, quickly before you speak, that would help us for the record, and I won't count that against your time. Okay. And next we have Shona? Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm in Science and Technology Studies, and I too have been getting a number of emails from my field advocating for retaining the CMS for Cornell Cinema. Because we don't think that this Cornell is an institution that offers, you know, like any person any study, by cutting such a good cultural resource, it does diminish the light in terms of having activities for graduate students to do outside of class. And because it is in the arts, we think that it fosters like interdisciplinary collaboration at an informal level. So by cutting funding, we cut a really good cultural resource.
Thank you. Next we have Liz.
Elizabeth Newberry from Communication, also BC.
Sorry.
I'm also in favor of this amendment. I believe that parity with the SA puts us on good footing for the future. It also, I think, takes into consideration the recommendations of the Appropriations Committee with regard to marketing and increase, like that the Cornell Cinema had not quite met our standards from last time. Particularly with people from my field, that was a very critical aspect. If you're asking for so much from so many students, they should know what that organization is doing on campus, and many of them didn't.
Okay, next we will have Christine.
Okay, Christine, English, Humanities, VP of Operations. So I also support this amendment very strongly. I think it makes sense to be on parity with SA. This will be the first time since 1992 that we will have funded the same or less, potentially with like the full dollar cut, it would be less than SA, which is the first time that's been taken since 1992. A full dollar cut, to put into perspective, would also bring the Cornell Cinema's funding from us to pre-2006 levels, which I do not think is commensurate with the amount of changes that they've made in their marketing, in terms of the restructuring of the renovation of Willow Street Hall, the fact that they do all these great events, like have a children's festival that helps bring a lot of families, they have one of these national festivals that reaches out to the diversity community, and also heard overwhelmingly from students across the campus, including one person calling to Italy to make sure that I spoke
And Jeff? Yes, Jeff. Did you? Okay. And Jeff?
Okay, Jeff, we're calling mathematics. I want to say, first of all, I'm very impressed with the Appropriation Committee's presentation of experiments at that meeting. But I'm in favor of this amendment. I just want to say, when I first visited Cornell, nothing outside of my own department could have produced and impressed me as the Cornell Cinema schedule I saw. I mean, I know I've seen something that can't add out. And so I think the graduate student attendance is maybe too narrow now. I think the Cornell Cinema is sort of campus excellence, something like Cornell Plantation, that is important to the future. That's really helpful.
Thank you. And next we will have Elizabeth.
Elizabeth, I'm in the history of art and archaeology and visual studies. A bunch of other
I am actually speaking on behalf of Kristen Freeland, who has communicated from Italy because she has written the application. And I can't read her decision letter in full, but she wanted to specifically emphasize the importance of the interdisciplinary offerings that Cornell Center provides in the teaching context for graduate students as well. So that part of the pie should not be forgotten. It doesn't just offer a social and cultural impact, it also offers that educational impact that a lot of, not just humanities courses, but lots of different courses.
Point of information, discussion should be on specifically the amendment that is being proposed. So I understand. No, I just wanted, I wasn't criticizing. I was just, I've been reading a lot of Robert's Rules of Order. So.
Thank you. And then it's in the gray in the back.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. I'm Jane, and I'm in the English department. And I just wanted to speak, I've been in support of the amendment. For people like me who work on media facts as opposed to traditional printed text, Cornell Cinema is an absolutely vital resource, and it's very much an educational resource. It's much more than an entertainment opportunity that should be governed by market forces. It's a representation for an important branch of the arts on campus. That is, we have limited availability of that kind of thing because we're in a small town and so far from the big city, and I really do this community should support it.
And then in the back in the turquoise? Yes. That's time. Thank you. And then we have Bill is next.
I immediately oppose this resolution, this amendment, because the graduate student community doesn't support this if they don't attend Cornell Cinema events. Last year, there was between 4,200 and 5,600 graduate student admissions. The Cornell Cinema only brings in 3% of revenue from tickets, so the rest of it is from subsidies and grants. And so the park must really think this is a really strong asset, and they should start to help cover that space up. Right now, we're subsidizing this way above first-run theater. It's a second-run theater with some nice art shows, too. But it's, you have to draw a line somewhere and say, this is getting a little bit ridiculous, and we just can't have an excessive amount. I've seen their data, I've seen their books, and it's excessive.
Thank you. And then next we have Todd.
Hi, Todd Snyder, field rep, linguistics. I'm speaking out against the amendment. Parity with essays is a really nice talking point. We don't have parity dependence or usage, so that seems to me just a nice thing to say. It's true that Cornell Cinema is a sort of community-wide asset. We don't fund Cornell Scienceteachers, and they can seek funding from other places that sort of serve beyond graduate student assembly. We haven't heard anything what they'll do with the extra 65 cents, despite Tim's direct question. And again, only like 5% of grad students are getting their money's worth with the current subsidy. Thank you.
Thank you. And next we'll hear from Nathan.
Yes.
Yes, Nathan.
I'm from the law school. I also oppose the amendment. I want to echo the last point and say that calling it parity is a distortion. I mean, it's the same number, but if we were actually paying parity based on number one, the student grad students, but in terms of the usage rate, parity would be several dollars shorter. Due to the current recommendation of the committee to get to true parity, that would be too devastating even for my point. I do think that this matters. I think that in terms of how you're looking at it, I get my money's worth out of this matter. And I think 1060 is arbitrary just because it happens to match the essay. We're not equal by an unequal population.
Thank you. And Mia?
Hi, Mia.
I just wanted to try and get away from the constant discussion that is numbered. I think a lot of this discussion we're having about all of these different violence funded groups stems from a desire to improve student life care, which is intrinsically linked with the constant discussion that we're having about mental health among graduate students, which I think we all value and all regard as important. You know, we started talking about numbers in terms of mental health. You know, we're not necessarily saying that, you know, 75% of graduates have mental health problems here. And this sort of thing can really, I think, the cinema can target a certain group of graduate students who might not want to take advantage of, say, the GPS-TV events. So I think it's important.
Time. Thank you. And next we will go to Christy.
I think that the opening statement that you made saying that we're raising bigger barn funding and that has to come from somewhere else is inherently problematic because they can think well for them to raise a bigger barn, which some students don't use. I don't bring it, I don't want to use it, but I want to work on the camera for it. It's crazy. And I also think that the idea that departments have to look for funding for this, humanities departments can't even fund their students, never mind.
And then next we have, I don't know your name, but in the back.
I'm English and I support the amendment. I just wanted to understand the importance of having a first grade cinema, having access to my culture, and the importance that I see in Jackson Hobbs and all the other graduates in that scene, like having that ability to be fully absorbed.
Thank you. So are there, is there a second? Are there any objections to calling the question? Or actually, I'll open this up for debate in terms of if anyone would like to speak about calling the question. If not, we'll call the vote. And this is going to take a two-thirds vote of those present.
No, it's an amendment.
It's a simple
majority.
It will not be 81.68.
It should be
81.95.
So, point of clarification. So, moving to the question means we're
this specific amendment, not the whole discussion.
And Monet was right.
Yes, with two-thirds. Yes. So right now I'll take the vote, so we'll require a two-thirds vote if we were to call the question and close discussion on this amendment, not the whole entire resolution. So at this time, I'll take a vote. So all those in favor?
We're voting on whether or not to close debate.
Okay, I'm sorry.
And voting on the current amendment.
Yes. Okay, I'm sorry if I didn't make that clear. So yes, we're voting on the motion to close, to call the question and close the discussion on this specific amendment. So all those in favor, if you can raise your green placards.
Please raise them high.
So I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Oh, I think people ended up raising them later, so I'm going to go back again. So I'll give you a second, and after I pass, you know, please raise them all at one time. Okay, so I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 in favor. All those opposed? So I have 1, 2, 3 opposed. So the motion passes 13-3. And we will call the question on this specific amendment. So right now we're going to vote on the amendment to change Cornell Cinema's allocation from 1005 to 1060. And as you can see, the total has now changed to $81.60, which has to be rounded up to $82. So that is what we are currently voting on. So now we'll take the vote on that. So all those who are in favor of amending Cornell Cinema's funding from 1005 to 1060, please raise your placards. So I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Raise them high.
Okay. And I'm counting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 total. All those opposed? So I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 opposed. So the motion does not pass and is shut down 10-6. So at this time, we will go back to our speakers list for the original resolution, and we will entertain any other comments or in opposition or in favor, and also any other amendments. So next on the speakers list we had for the general resolution, we have Christine Yell.
I guess I would like to say again that I do think that the giving back 50 cents seems arbitrary. A $1 cut seems just as equally arbitrary for Ben Sedekin. And I think that Cornell Center is an incredibly important resource for both families, graduate students, as well as graduate students generally from all different backgrounds. For one example, like last year, I brought both graduate students and undergraduate students to a children's event, which was the Miyazaki Film Festival, which is also supported in part by the Asian Studies Department. So this is a great example of how academics can come together on so many different levels to support a community event.
So to be clear, we're discussing the resolution.
Okay.
Now.
Yes, we. Yes.
No, I'm making space.
So you just have a general. Yeah, try to keep your much to being in favor or against something within the resolution or making an amendment, or if you have, you know, a point of information or need clarification. So, and Liz is keeping the speaker's list, she'll nod at you.
I will make eye contact and nod.
Yes.
So at the end, there's a list of people that we send this resolution to. So Nicole says that in addition, we should also be including the deans of the Law School of Veterinary Medicine and the Graduate School of Management. So would you like the text and the name?
Yeah, I'll put the email in to you. If you have it.
Okay, so there's a second, and.
I know, I'm sorry.
Okay,
the
so
black is brown hair.
And so the amendment was to include the law, the professional schools, the yes.
Stuart J. Schwab, the LMC Art Hester, Dean of Cornell Law School, Michael Kozlikoff, the Opno Rui, Dean of Veterinary Medicine, and Dimitri Ruta, and an Elmer Elizabeth Dean, Samuel Curtis Johnson, the record.
Okay, thank you. So we'll open that up for debate. Would anyone like to speak on that?
Call the question.
Okay. Is there a second? Okay. Are there any objections to calling the question? If not, we will, and there's no one else that wants to speak, so we'll go ahead and take the vote on that. All those who are in favor of amending the resolution to include the professional schools and also the business schools. So I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. All those opposed? Okay, I count that zero. So the motion.
Abstention. The amendment was to add the vet school dean.
Okay, 16.
Okay.
Okay, so the motion passed. The motion passes 16-0, and we'll go back to. Now we're going back into the main resolution, and next on the list we have Shouan.
Shouan.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
Would you like us to come back to you, or you can raise your hand again if you want to speak. Okay. So next we have Jeffrey.
Oh yeah.
Okay. And then Mia. Okay. I'm sorry, Mia.
Okay, Mia, I'd like to propose an amendment to the active application and suggest that we make it to about $30.41 instead of $28.35. I know traditionally that the FD has been funded at 35% of the total. However, because of this late-day situation last year, the FD has been
funded at 39.4%. So a drop down back to 35% would be a big cut. And already the FDRC has been having to hand out a lot of organizations for any partially funded members. A lot of you probably have had information in your own department of your organization, not the USAF funding. I'm not on the FDU Capital Fund, I was there 2 years ago, and I've spoken to the Tarot Chair, who's on the FDU Capital.
Okay, and just want to clarify, what exactly are you proposing? So I think you said either 31 or?
About 30 or 31. I know it has to be flexible in the SME threshold, so I can't propose an actual dollar amount.
Or just?
More than 35%.
Yeah.
So
what's the number?
If you could actually.
So it, that would still be below what it's at right now.
A number. If you said a dollar number.
Okay,
so $31.
So if you want 31, it's 3135, that's
3135.
Yeah, okay,
so anything between like
31 and $3. So we need one of those guys from the auction.
Okay, so I would like to get to an exact amount that you're admitting. So you don't want to go above 83, is that the issue or?
I'm quite happy to go to around about 84 and to the MD at 71 or whatever. I'm not happy.
31, 35. So we're entertaining right now the potential amendment to change GPSA FC to 31, 35. Is there a second for that? Okay. And again, so we're entertaining the motion to the amendment to change GPSA FC to 31, 35. And so I'll open that up for debate, and we'll keep a separate speakers list specifically for that. I see Alex is up first on that one. 1 second, let me get my timer. Sure, I can take that. So if you would like to speak in favor of this amendment, if you could have an open fist, if you would like to speak against, a closed fist, and then that way we'll be able to maybe balance the conversation a little bit better. So, Liz? Thank you. Yes.
31, 30.
So is that what you? Okay. 31.
We're gonna battle this around.
31, 30. Okay. And so, and again, please state your name and also the field, and I won't count that against your time. And so, up first, Alex.
Hi, I'm Alex. I'm from theoretical and applied mechanics, and I'm a mathematical scientist. I would like to speak against this amendment because we have 2 years, we have explicitly money for FP. It might feel new that things be funded at a higher level because of that, and that it was temporary. I think raising the total activity fee an extra $3 just to make a temporary thing permanent, not because of that. So I'm against this amendment, and I would like the activity.
Okay, thank you. And next we will have Michaela. Okay. And Max.
So my name is Max Chen, a political science voting member and member of statistics. As the president of a student organization, Society for Asian American Graduate Affairs, I support the increase of the GPSA FC allocation. However, just like Alex, I am against the $3 increase in the activity fee. So I'm not against increasing funding, but we need to make additional adjustments to the amount that we give other final funding if we're going to increase GPSA FDL. So we're going to grant a $103.
Okay, thank you. And then next we have Christine.
So I was a member of the FC last year. It definitely, even though it was a temporary thing, we definitely thought that we were able to support things on a much wider basis. Having spoken to the current chair of the FC, it seems like we'll be running out of money before the end of the spring term, the end of the school year. So of course, if this doesn't go through, it just rather than like everyone else's applying, try to get your FCR as
okay. Thank you. And next we have William.
I just had a question. I was just wondering how necessary this increase is. Are there a lot of groups that deserve funding that are really not funding, or how big is the issue with these people?
Is there anyone here from the FC that wants to speak about that?
I'm not actually with the FC, but I helped with the funding phase the last 2 years. And there are a lot of organizations on campus that have a lot of funding, and a lot of them did not get their full funding, but that's up to everybody if they're all the same way. So if we all see them, we'll all get more out of it. But it's also very unbalanced on campus how many organizations are funding each department. So from my personal perspective, we should change our structure of how we allow for departments rather than having to be everybody. The professional schools have very high numbers of clubs compared to every other department, but that's just not good.
Okay, and then Christy? I'll give you 45 seconds to respond to that.
It's a general trend. Everyone, I try to interview grad students. I don't know, obviously, it wasn't an effective interview, but I've asked people what they want to see, and the overwhelming response I get from graduate students is cut it as much as they can, which obviously they don't understand. They go into the menu, they cut, 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 cut. So we do want to appreciate, that. Burnsome on students, not huge, not like other schools, and I'm like undergrad with a huge fee and it's ridiculous. But it has grown, it's kind of grown a little bit above inflation lately, so we wanted to try to go flat this year to kind of bring it back to the rate of inflation from the increase and to avoid the exponential increase that we're going to have.
Okay. And Anne?
Yeah, I just had a question about who were the creative funded programs? And this kind of plays off of what Jerry was saying. Like, is the breakdown pretty even between, let's say, diversity groups or speakers coming in, or is there a huge amount of money going into very specific special interest groups?
And I don't believe there's anyone. Well, Franny. Oh, you're okay. You are on that seat. So, Ian, I'll give you a chance to respond to that.
Okay. In the past month, which I've been on the FC, I've seen quite a variety of different applications for funding. So, different types of groups. There has been a lot of professional student body student groups that were part of this assembly. So, I think that's fine. I'm not sure. I think it's difficult to decide whether we should make one amendment now this year to adjust it up to a higher level based on the previous year when we see that 35% as being the consistent thing, or whether we're just amending this year.
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any
okay.
And there's a... I'm going to keep again, but I have to wait to try and see else to speak first.
Yes, and he just called the question, so we'll have to vote on that first. Okay, so is there, we'll go ahead and take a vote on calling the question. So we need 2/3 in order for that to pass through. If you're in favor, please raise your placard. I will clarify. If you're in favor of him the motion to call the question to stop the debate here, on this specific amendment, then raise your placard if you're in favor of that. So, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Okay, all those opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8 opposed, so the motion does not pass, the discussion will continue. So, I think we have next is Nathan.
I oppose this amendment. I think that when we're asking in terms of, yes, sure, I'm willing to pay $3 more maybe, but I'm not sure that if you ask graduate students they want to pay $3 more for, especially this is the general fund. The FC is the general whatever's left over fund. You wouldn't be able to tell your constituents like that. You know, this went into the big red box. This went into, no, this is literally just more money for, they'll see it as just more money for us. You know, more money for the people voting in this room to spend their money on things that we think they'll like. I mean, there is waste. There is excessive things. We've named some. Some of our recommendations.
10 seconds.
I think if we're going to amend the fee at all, I think we should take an organization, not just the general leftover pot that is here.
Okay, thank you. Mia?
Okay, so I think, if you say to people in your sales, you know, do you want to raise it by $3? I'll say no. If you say to them, you know, are you okay with not being able to have your annual conference next year because the FCE is short of funds, then they might reconsider. The FCE has had increasing problems the last 3 years. Certainly, yeah, I was chair, and the year before when I was serving on the committee, and what I've had anecdotally the last 2 years. Daniel, the current FCE chair, said, just basing on sort of a guess from his big chair right now, he says that on average they probably fund 15 to 75% of the requests they receive, which isn't a huge amount. That means a lot of really good organisations aren't being funded, and really good conferences and important events. So I just want you to think about that as you consider.
Okay. So?
Just to point out, because of the error in our recommendation, we pronounced him at 10.05 instead of $10, that rate is at $81.05. So the current fee is really $82, not $81, so 95 cents of that extra is going into the FC. So they are getting $1 more than we were originally on the recommendation just because of the clerical error of adding extra 5 cents.
Okay. And next we have Franny. Okay, thank you. Okay, and then we have Nathan.
I just want to point out that we were talking earlier, folks, the last segment about the numbers and about, you know, like not thinking about it just in terms of numbers. But I think this conversation shows how important it is. It's why the committee proposed the kind of proposal. It's why we opposed the increase that we just opposed, spoke out in favor of the last one. The money that does work, if you want money to go to the FCE, take it from somewhere else. I mean, if you want more money to go towards something that you think is really important, like the groups that aren't getting funded by the FCE, and I feel bad for those groups. Those groups, if they're better profit, they're a better worthwhile bargain than they are. We've identified some places that we think
okay, thank you. And if there are no other comments, we will go ahead. Are there any objections to calling the question? If not, we will bring this to a vote. So we are now voting on the amendment to change GPSA FC to 3130. So I'll ask all those who are in favor to raise their green placards. I have one. So I have one in favor. All those opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. Okay, so. Attention. Okay, yeah, so the motion, the amendment will not pass. And we will go back to the original speakers list. So we're going back into the speakers list for the whole resolution. So at this time, next we have, let's see, I think that person may have left. Sorry. Okay. And then Tim.
Yeah, that's coming on.
Wait, can we change the number back?
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you.
28. 35.
2870 The word to make all over. And then that will bring in.
It's 28.35, right?
No, it'll be higher.
Well, okay. But shouldn't we just count that towards the toll? Because we might get thrown off in some other part of the discussion if we...
No, I wouldn't worry about it now. Just, you know, we'll...
Okay. Okay, we'll take note of it if we change something else that we have to make sure we take note of the fact that we've moved that up a little bit. Okay, so next on the speaker's list for the general resolution, we have Alex. And she got you on the speaker's list. Thank you. Alex?
No, we have a point of clarification.
Yeah, I just really confused by the 05, A145, A1. So does that A145 have to be rounded up?
Yeah,
it
will.
So yeah. It must be a whole number.
Okay, so now my question is, given that if some one of these other allocations were to go up by an amount that's 60 cents or less, would that then change the
total? It changes the FC. FC must retain
35%. Yeah.
So it will increase
all
that
I want to do is look at...
Every time one of those changes, the
FC changes too.
And then... Okay.
So we want to look at the non-GPSAFC funding, divide that by 0.65, and then round up to the nearest whole dollar, and that difference is going to be the FC funding.
Okay.
So the
FC
will always increase with every byline increase. You can't just say, oh, that's 60 cents, we get a lot sugar, because that will then increase it to probably like $83 or more.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah.
Okay. And so next on the... I'm sorry, did you have another point of...
I have a follow-up question.
Yes.
This is a math question. Is there a way for us to determine how much money we have to play with to maintain the $82, but potentially attribute to other groups, including like...
I'm sure you could make an Excel sheet.
So we have... Christine, if you just go to the...
Yeah. In the meantime, maybe we can... Thank you, Bill. Okay. Yes, so next on the list we have Alex.
It was a while ago.
Oh, okay.
So.
He stepped out. Okay.
No, it's you.
Okay.
He wants to know how much money he can offer.
And then next we have Chavez. Okay, Chavez? Okay, so your question is answered, and then...
Let's just wait. Everybody's waiting.
Woo-hoo! And then President Calderon. So this gives us... You know, I feel this. So this will go up to 82, and then FC will go up to 27.
Or you could just set it to round to no decimal places. If you set it to no decimal places, we'll
round
it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think we can.
They'll continue to play with Excel. Now, next up, we had Todd. Did you still want to speak? If you want, you can come down.
Technically, next we had. Okay.
She passed. Yeah. Todd.
Yeah, I have an amendment to propose.
Okay.
Namely, amending the funding for Cornell Cinema to $10 a class, which is what the finance committee actually intended to recommend originally. This will bring us back down to $81 instead of $82, and then we don't have to worry about how much extra money to go around. And you can tell your constituents to save them all a dollar.
Okay. So we have a second. Okay. So we will. Now open up for debate for the motion, for the amendment to change Cornell Cinema from $10.05 to $10. And Liz will be keeping a separate speaker's list for this discussion. Well, actually, last time we did it based off of the packet, so we did $10.05. Well, I guess I'm saying that's what we technically passed, because...
So we're making amendments to that.
Cool. Yeah.
So this is just to iron all of this out, even if it's rendered redundant by having this communicated, so we can change this on paper to be what we said aloud.
Should we do the open, close?
Magic hand? Okay. Okay, so she'll be keeping the speakers list. And, okay, so first up. Okay, sorry.
Lindsay Jordan, Horticulture and Wildlife Recreation Committee. I am in support of amending 10, which was where humans thought it was the typos. You could probably blame me for that one. But in talking about numbers, at the end of the day, we are doing accounting statements. We are talking financial numbers. But if you want to go with the not numbered value route, in the survey, GPSA survey that we keep citing, they actually did a correlation of personal happiness, community cohesion, and social mixing related to that byline funded organization. Cinema was deemed to have no effect on any of these three factors, whereas other orients, like orientation, the Big Red Barn, sports, events committees, and other Cornell Culture Commission all did increase those statistically. So I know I'm putting numbers on a not numbers idea, but there are numbers about it.
Okay. Thank you.
Can I ask a question about the survey? What was the pool of graduates?
It's a scientific survey. It was ran last year.
So it is a random survey.
It was
very
thoroughly
done.
Yeah. It wasn't like a Google survey or
something.
No, it was a legitimately scientifically run.
It was like
Sorry, I got you.
No.
Oh, yeah, the question. Okay, go ahead.
So if it changed to $10 and then $81 exactly, there would be no extra money that would go to the GPSA.
That's correct.
How many times would that be? 95?
Yeah.
Okay. And next on the list we have Nathan.
Yeah, because it's short. This is a 5-cent error, and it would mean that we'd have OMK at all anymore, and 95% of it would just go in the general pot I was talking about before. And I just want to say, the things we're going to argue about the Cornell Cinema, I think there's going to be another event on Cornell Cinema, not for 5 cents, but for something else. And if we're going to argue about Cornell Cinema, I think we can do that when that number comes. Not, this is about Cornell Cinema, but it's really about the error, not about how much you want from Cornell Cinema.
Okay.
Governing by clerical error is bad governing.
Okay, second. So we'll take the vote now and call the question. So we are entertaining the motion to call the question on the amendment to decrease Cornell Cinema from $10.05 to $10. All those who are in favor of that, please raise your green placards. So I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 in favor. All those opposed? Okay, zero opposed, and so the motion does pass, and we will call the question. So at this time, we are voting on the amendment to change Cornell Cinema from $10.05 to $10. If you are in favor of taking Cornell Cinema from $10.05 to $10, please raise your green placard at this time. So I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. 11 in favor of reducing Cornell Cinema to 10. All those opposed? I have 1, 2. Okay. I'm sorry. 1. So 1, 2, 3, 4. I count 4. Do I have everyone? Okay, so then the motion will pass, and that was 10. 10, okay. Yes. Okay, so now we're going to go back into the original resolution, and we will go back to our speakers list. I think we're actually, we did have one more person on our original speakers list for the whole entire resolution. If anyone else wants to speak on that, Liz will take down your name. She'll nod at you when she has you down. Franny? Okay. Is there anyone else that wants to speak on the resolution as a whole? Okay.
Is it possible to raise the GPSA FC funding back up a dollar now that we're at 81 and we're not getting
you can propose that amendment. Okay, so you are proposing an amendment to raise GPSA FC from $28.35 to $29.35? Okay. Okay, so is there a second for that? Okay, so I'll now open that up. Excuse me, sorry. So we're now debating whether or not to raise GPSA SC to from 2835 to 2935. And we're keeping a separate speakers list now. If you would like to speak on that topic, raise your hand, raise your placard, or your hand. And also too, please follow, and again, raise your hand. Open fist if you're speaking in favor of raising the fee. Closed fist if you're speaking against raising GPSA SC. So, were you in favor? Okay.
Chavez, were you stretching? Or?
He's in favor. Okay, we'll go ahead and start with Chavez. Oh, sorry. Did you have? You're just. Yeah, he's on the speakers. We got him on the list. Okay, so go ahead, Chavez.
So I'll kind of echo what Max said earlier about being a former president of several organizations on campus, sometimes sometimes by December, you know, all the funding and arms, whatever goes in, and there's no more money for this semester when something else kicks in. So I was in favor of that. And also keep in mind that every organization that campus boards are all elected in office. So someone that's coming in with a board coming in January or in spring semester, this all gives them time to allot to figure out some kind of funding for programs and that.
Okay, that's time. Thank you. And then Ian?
I do oppose it. That's at least what I put up there, but I guess this is more information. Just for the voting members, the FC is working on the basis of having the same amount of funding as we had last year, minus the sort of there. So I don't think it's going to be any big surprise if we don't have an increase, but obviously it would be nice to have additional funding for other groups. So I think it depends on your opinion about how much funding groups should have.
Thank you. And next we have Mia.
Okay, so I just wanted to reiterate that having spoken to the current FC president today, he is in favor of raising it, even if it's just by a dollar. Currently, it's $31.96 for people pledging, so cutting down from $31.96 to $28.35 is a big gap. And so I think the FC is really good struggles that next year. I don't actually think, from what I spoke to, from what the chair said to me today, that they are prepared. They do have an action plan of what to do next year. It drops all the way down to 28.35 again. As close as they are used to right now at that 31.6, and there are still plenty of groups who are being funded at that time. So, I'm just looking at it.
Okay, and next we have Serena.
The way I see it is that SC does a really good job of allocating funding based on, you know, sort of spontaneous events that arise. And from a professional school background, I know a lot of the things that we're discussing, sort of the law school really doesn't participate in at all, but I'm buying just sort of pointing to all and helping fund that. Like, we're not the most, I don't know if a single person who's gone there and I've talked to a good majority of, I would say, like, I have become 300 of our students. And, I mean, Dave Rush Barnes is popular, but not that popular. And so, GPSA FC is, like, just one of those things that I feel like can be allocated, you know, more flexibly than I was thinking at somewhere.
Okay, that's time. Thank you. And next up on the list, we have Todd.
Yeah, I'm against this amendment. I think the GPSAFC is doing a great job, and they'll continue to do that. And part of that job involves deciding which groups are more deserving, less deserving. And I think we're lying to ourselves if we think that every single person who applies for funding deserves it equally much. And part of their job is to pick out the sort of cream of the crop, and they'll continue to do that. I'm very confident, and an extra dollar won't really change that.
Okay. Next we have Bill.
I do appreciate the SD a lot, and I'm against it. I think if we want to increase the funding, maybe we should probably have a larger discussion on to maybe adjusting the percentage to more than 35%, because now in 2 years, we can go right back to, okay, we're dealing with 35%, but now we think they should be getting more, so we're going to raise the fee. I don't like that precedent, and that I also would like to have a little bit more interaction, I guess, with the SD to, if they needed more money, I technically oversee them, and they never came up to me saying that, they're going to be hurt by the GPSA or losing that sole state performance in the last 2 years. So their absence, to me, just tells me that maybe they don't need it as much as we don't see.
Point of information. So in order to change the percentage, that would be a byline location?
I'm talking outside of the realm.
Yeah, outside of the media thing.
Yeah, but maybe in the future, okay, have a broader discussion with that.
Okay, and if there are no other comments, are there any objections to calling the question? Okay.
I'd like to comment. So I think that's a good idea. We're going to make some kind of change to increase the FC funding to levels which would be in line with what we had before, when we had SOJ funding, and that should be done separately from just a single amendment done to this recommendation.
For information, it's not required. We have flexibility to give as much money as we want, but generally, we stay close to 35% in the past. So.
Okay. And if there are no other comments, are there any objections to calling the
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.